Pastor Varun and Pastor Dalla Hopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Sometimes I climb so far, only to backslide. Lord, I may be sliding back, but I will not abandon you.
I believe you love this sermon. It's a popular sermon. It's a very popular. Today, the sermon is very... I believe you like this sermon very much. We call God discipline. God's discipline. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we thank you so much, Lord, for your word. We thank you so much for reminding us to be righteous and holy before your eyes, Father. Oh, Lord, we love you. We bless you. We ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to come, and you will speak to your people in this church and people who listen to the podcast and CD. Father, we bless all of them in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. You know, when you put your faith in the name of the Lord, you put your faith in Christ Jesus, and you also confess with your mouth that Christ is your Savior and Lord. You repent of your sin, turn around, and walk with Him. You became a child of God. You became a son and a daughter of the living God. You know that your daddy is in heaven. He is sitting on the throne. He's a good daddy. He's a good Abba Father. He's a God who's full of love. In the past, I didn't understand about God's love very much by just reading the Bible. But lately, when I filled with the Holy Spirit, when I minister like in that videotape and filled with the Holy Spirit, lay hand on people, the Spirit of God filled me up, lay hand on 1,000 people, and some of them come up a few times. So it means I lay hand on maybe about 1,500 times. When I look at people, I can feel the love of God. I see people and love all of them, no matter what background they came from. I know that God loved them so much. And God wants the best for their life. God is a good Father. He's a rich God. And many people in this room say, everyone say, my God, my dad is rich. He's good. He's loving. But at the same time, our Father in heaven is a righteous God. He is without sin. He is a holy God. And one of the goals that He wants to have to happen, one of the goals that He wants to see happen in His family or His church is that His children become holy and righteous. And He really wants to do anything on earth to make you holy. God's primary purpose is not that you will feel comfortable. God's primary purpose is to make you holy and righteous and become like Him. Because He wants you to reflect Him on earth here. When people see you on earth, they will see Him because you are His reflection. You will show Christ's likeness to the world, to the lost world. He wants you to be holy. He is a just God. Therefore, one of the things that He will use to change you, to make you holy, is we call the discipline of God. He needs to sometimes use a spanking. He needs to spank you so that you will become holy. And I'm preaching this sermon with experience because I have been spanked by God so many times. God has disciplined me so many times in my life, and I thank God for His discipline. So when you sin against God, He's slow to anger. He's a very patient and long-suffering God. If you sin against God, He will be long-suffering for you. He will be patient with you. He wants you to repent. He wants you to turn around and do the right thing and have the right attitude. But if you don't repent, one day, God's discipline is going to come to you so that you will turn around and do the right thing. God's discipline is a sign of love. Is that right? When you love somebody, you need to discipline that person when they do wrong. So God wants to change your attitudes. God wants to change your lifestyle. God wants you to be holy and righteous like Him. And God is going to discipline His children first before He disciplines outsiders. He's going to take care of the church first because this is His own kids, His own children. He's going to come and spank His kids. Let's look at the Deuteronomy, the scripture Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 5. The Bible says, know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord, your God, disciplines you. The Bible says clearly that as a man or a father disciplines his son or daughter, God will discipline His children for sure. Amen. You cannot run away from God's discipline if you don't repent. God will spank you. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 6, because the Lord disciplines those He loves, and He punishes everyone He accepts as a son. God loves us so much that He will not allow us to just go on and on and on and on in the wrong thing or in the wrong direction. He wants us to turn around. He doesn't want us to be condemned with the world. He doesn't want us to go into destruction or calamity. He wants to stop us from going down on the wrong path or wrong direction. So He's going to do something to wake us up. He will not want us to go on and on into death, into calamity and destruction in our life. He wants to stop us in the middle. What He's going to do? He's going to discipline us. Amen. Because we are His children. He is our Father. He's going to do something to benefit us. The discipline of God benefits our life. In Hebrews chapter 12 verse 7, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? When God disciplines us, He does it out of love as a father. Amen. A lot of Christians just want blessing, want the favor of God. They want the favor. Oh God, give me favor. God bless me. God give me a new job. God give me a new, God give me a girlfriend. God help me to get married. Not a new girlfriend. I have to be careful I say that word. God give me a girlfriend. God give me a boyfriend. God help me to get married. God give me a child, a son or a daughter or something like that. We ask God. But one thing we need to ask God too is that if we sin against God, God discipline me. Stop me. Don't let me go on that direction. God, show me the way. Show me the path that I should go. Amen. God discipline is a sign of love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 32, when we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. God knows that if we keep on sinning, our heart will be hardened. And eventually we're going to sin more and more. Is that right? Have you ever seen movies or the life of people who lied? And after they lie one line, they have to lie the second line and the third line in order to cover up. And then they keep on going and on going, and then they're going downhill. Is that right? People who corrupt, they have to corrupt more, and they have to do many things eventually, even to the point that they have to kill somebody to shut that person's mouth. When people sin, they will go downhill to the point that one day they may deny God, and they will just leave the kingdom of God, and they will be condemned with the world. God doesn't want us to be condemned with the world. Yesterday, my daughter said that God gave her the burden for the loss. And God showed her that how bad to be in hell. Because in hell, the worst thing in hell is that there is no presence of God. Is that right? You want to be in the presence of God. And if people sin against God and don't want to repent, they may not make it to heaven. Because the Bible says, not everyone who calls Lord, Lord will make it to heaven. In other words, you may say, I am a Christian. I'm a member of a local church. I'm in a member of a choir or worship team. But if you don't repent and you keep on that path, I cannot guarantee that you're going to make it to heaven. Because true Christians will repent, will turn around. You see what I mean? So no one can judge you. No one can tell if you go to heaven or not. But I want to make sure that you go to heaven with me. So I don't want you to be condemned. I don't want to be judged by God. So turn around, and God can use His discipline to stop us from going downhill. Amen. Now, how does God discipline us? I think we need to know. How does God discipline us? Let's look at the scripture here. In 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 14, we need to know how God disciplines us. 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 14, God is talking to the children of Israel, actually to David. I will be his father. His father, his mean David's son, his father, and he will be my son. When he does wrong, I will punish him with the rod of men, with floggings inflicted by men. So God was speaking to King David that your son gonna serve me and I will be his father. But if he sin against me, I will punish him with the rod of men. What does it mean, the rod of men? It means that God sometimes allow the human enemies or other people to attack us and to give us a hard time. Maybe a lawsuit. Maybe somebody came into your house and robbed your house. Maybe somebody hit your car. Maybe somebody cheated you money. God used other human beings as an instrument to judge you. I can give you example. In 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verses 1 to 20, talking about a king named Manasseh. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king. He reigned in Jerusalem 55 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord. This king is not a good king. He deserted the Lord, just worship idol. In fact, his dad is a good king. His dad is Hezekiah. His dad worshiped God. This is one of the things that I pray in my heart. God, I served you as a pastor. I served you. One thing I beg you, Lord, that my children will not desert you. My children will all serve you. I pray for Paul. I pray for Joy. I pray for Tanida. I pray that they will all love God because I don't want another Manasseh in my house. Manasseh did not follow the example of his father. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And following the detestable practices of the nations, the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. He rebuilt the high places his father Hezekiah had demolished. He also erected altars to the Baals, the idols. This is false gods. And made Asherah poles. He bowed down to all the starry hosts and worshipped them. He built altars in the temple of the Lord, of which the Lord has said, my name will remain in Jerusalem forever. In both courts of the temple of the Lord, he built altars to all the starry hosts. He sacrificed his son. Ooh, pretty bad. Huh? He sacrificed his son in the fire of the valley of Ben Hinnom, practiced sorcery, divination, and witchcraft, and consulted mediums and spiritists. He did much evil in the eyes of the Lord, provoking him to anger. He took the calf image he had made and put it in God's temple, of which God has said to David and to his son Solomon, in this temple and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. I will not again make the feet of the Israelite leave the land I assigned to your forefather. If only they will be careful to do everything I commanded them concerning all the laws, decrees, and ordinances given to Moses. But Manasseh led Judah and the people of Jerusalem astray. My dear brother and sister, it's so important to be with the right leadership, to be with the right pastor and leaders. And it's so important, men in this church, as fathers and husbands, you need to lead your family to godliness. Amen? Because whatever you do will impact people around you, under you. If the fathers do not do the right thing, it will bring curses to the next three or four generations. We need to live in the fear of God. I remember listening to the preaching of John Bevere about a very famous minister in America. I don't want to mention the name. One day, he was put in jail. And John Bevere asked him, do you love God? Why you were put in jail? This minister said, I really love Jesus. But one thing I lack is that I don't fear God. That's why he sinned against God. And the government put him in jail. We need to love God and fear God at the same time. Manasseh, the king, the leader, led Judah and the people of Jerusalem astray. Bad leader, bad congregation or bad community, bad household, so that they did more evil than the nations the Lord has destroyed before the Israelites. The Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they paid no attention. You see, sometimes God warned you first. God used sermon. God used people to come to you and say, please wake up. Please repent. Please turn around. So the Lord brought against them the army commanders of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh prisoner, put a hook in his nose, bound him with bronze shackles, and took him to Babylon. In his distress, he sought the favor of the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the Lord, the God of his fathers. And when he prayed to him, the Lord was moved. You see how God is so merciful? He sinned. God gave him the chance, but eventually the spanking of the Lord came. God used the rod of the Assyrian army to punish him. And he turned around, he prayed, and the Lord was moved. That's why I'm excited about the 3 days fast and pray of this week. In fact, I talked to Pastor Da that right now the prayer ministry want to have more prayer time in the church. We're going to have more prayer meeting in the church. Because if we humble ourselves and pray to God, you need to understand that every time we pray to God, the heart of the Lord is moved. You see, it's so important to pray to God, moved by his entreaty and listen to his plea. So he brought him back to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. Then Manasseh know that the Lord is God. When God spanked you and you face difficulties and calamities and you pray to God to take away that problem, then you know that the Lord is God. Amen. God can use the rod of men. God can use people to come and attack us. I remember when I was in Canterbury a long time ago. I was a new believer and I cheated the time of the government. Instead of working to 4 p.m., 8 to 4, I left early. I was a young believer and went out to do my own business. I cheated the money because I took salary from the government, but I went out to do my own things out of the time of the government. And you know what happened? God spanked me. God punished me. Oh, the rumor go over the city. People talk bad about me for a while. I repented right away and I said, no. I'm going to work 8 to 4. I'm not going to cheat the money from the government anymore. I turn around and the rumor stopped. You can see that if we don't repent, it's going to get worse. God used men or other people to spank us. Amen. The second way that God spanked us, is it a very popular preaching? Ooh, I like this preaching. I think the body of Christ needs to hear this preaching, not just bless me, okay? Actually, this is a form of blessing. God's discipline is a form of blessing. Job chapter 33, verse 19. Man is also chastened with pain on his bed and with strong pain in many of his bones. God can use sickness to be a way of disciplining people. Sometimes when you don't repent of your sin. God did not give you sickness. Don't misunderstand my preaching here. God's protection is around you all the time if you live in faith and in obedience. But when you sin against God, you rebel against God. The protection open up now. There is a hole. There is an empty spot that the devil can attack you. God allow demons and the devil to attack you with sickness. If you don't repent, if you continue in sin. I remember the story. In fact, I met the man. I met this man about maybe 12 years ago in Pastor Cornish's house. I went to visit Pastor Cornish, who was the dean of the Bible school. And this man was standing there. He was a graduate from Bible school. He is a minister of a ministry somewhere in the world. I didn't remember. But this man told me in front of Pastor Cornish that when he was a young believer, he knew the Lord. He was a young believer. He was very naughty. He always stayed home. He didn't want to commit to any church. He did not go to church. He just watched TV on Sunday. He did not want to serve the Lord. He knew that he was wrong, but he was so stubborn. He did not want to go to church. And the Lord warned him so many times that you need to go to church. You need to commit to a local church. And one day, in his young age, maybe only 30-something years old, he was afflicted by liver cancer. And he was admitted to the hospital. The doctor said, you're going to die. Liver cancer is incurable. It's one of the worst cancer in the whole system, medical system. In the bed of sickness, bed of death, he repented. And he said, Lord, I repented of my sin. I really rebelled against you. I turn around from now on. If I survive, I'm going to serve you. And that's why he went to Bible school. God healed him supernaturally. He was healed. Amen. And he counted the day that he was sick on the bed and in the hospital, that he could not do anything. He could not go anywhere. He counted the days that he was sick on the bed, could not do anything. Exactly the amount of days that he was on the bed is exactly the same amount of Sunday that he missed the church. God took back what he need to pay to God, the Sabbath day. Therefore, we need to be careful. Don't play game with God. God, people who don't pay tithe to God, be careful. You may not pay tithe to God. You steal from God. But you're going to pay for the medical bill. You're going to pay for the roof bill. You're going to pay to the lawyers. Amen. You cheat God $50,000. Yeah, God say, okay, you don't pay me. You're going to pay the lawyers. Because the lawyer is going to come to you and send you. I don't like the letter that come confidential into my office. Every time I see the letter say confidential, my hand a little bit shaking because it may come from the lawyer and say, I'm going to sue you. Be careful, because whatever you do to God, God is going to try to turn you around and say, don't sin against me. You need to be right with God. Amen. So I'm not trying to scare you. I'm speaking the truth. And usually after preaching, something will happen because you heard the truth already. Now you have no excuses. God speak the truth to you. From today on, you have no excuses that, oh, I don't know about God's discipline. Now you know. Hallelujah. So repent today. Number three, not only the rod of men, not only bed of sickness. Number three, in Psalm chapter 39, verse 11, you rebuke and discipline men for their sin. You consume their wealth like a moth. So the third way that God disciplines his people is by destroying what they love. How many people love money? I hope you don't love money, but a lot of people love money. So if you love money and you don't repent, God's going to take money away from you. Sometimes God may take someone that you love. Maybe your girlfriend walk out of you. Maybe something happened. Maybe what happened to King David. Look at the life of King David. Do you remember one time King David was not busy? In fact, I talked to a young man a couple of days ago. He said that he was so tempted. He was so confused in his mind. Temptation, temptation. I say, young man, this is the key if you want to avoid temptation. Number one, listen to worship CD all the time. To listen to sermon all the time. Wash your mind in your car. Listen to the sermon. Listen to worship CD. And number three, busy with the work of God. One of the reasons that I rarely sin, I don't do a lot of bad stuff because I'm busy with God's work. At that time, King David was not busy. King David finished all the war, the battle. He had a lot of free time. So he had a lot of free time. He was walking on the roof of his palace and he saw a beautiful woman taking a bath. But actually that woman already had a husband. But because he's not busy enough, he began to think, maybe I should take this woman to be my wife. And he did. He took her into his palace, slept with her, and sent her husband into the front field of the battle, and he died. What happened? God knew. Everyone say, I need to be busy. I need to fill my heart with the word of God. Amen. If you're not busy, be careful. You may end up like King David. You may sin against God. So what happened? I read the story to you. God sent a prophet to warn him. 2 Samuel chapter 12 verses 13 to 18. Then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. He repented. Nathan replied, the Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die. But because by doing this, you have made the enemies of the Lord show utter contempt. The son born to you will die. After Nathan had gone home, the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife had born to David. and he became ill. David pleaded with God for the child. He fasted and went into his house and spent the night lying on the ground. The elders of his household stood beside him to get him up from the ground. But he refused, and he would not eat any food with them. On the seventh day, the child died. You can see here that God took away the thing that David loved. His own son died. My dear brother, sister, sometimes God has to do that way to wake us up. God may allow the enemies to attack us. God may allow sickness to come into our life. Or God may take away something that we love to wake us up so that there will be only one God in our life, not other gods. Amen? Amen. Number four. Wow, you think it's over, it's done, God. No more. Three is enough. No, no, no. Three are not enough. More. Four. The fourth way that God punished his people, in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 11, I am with you and will save you, declares the Lord. Though I completely destroy all the nations among which I scatter you, I will not completely destroy you. I will discipline you, but only with justice. And I will not let you go entirely unpunished. God said that if we sin against God, even though we are special people, we are peculiar people, we are special people because we are the children of God. God said God is going to punish us if we don't repent, but with justice, according to the severity of our sin. If our sins are great sin that cause damage to the whole church, cause damage to his name, the punishment will be strong. Some people say, Pastor Lau, why you have to discipline somebody in the church? Bring people in and make announcement to a lot of people. Why other people sin against God and you don't do it? The same thing. The severity of sin that caused damage to more people will have to face greater judgment. Amen. I give you example. If I sin against God as a pastor, my judgment will be stronger than you. You know why? Because I'm standing up here preaching the word. I will cause damage to the congregation than just a new believer sitting there and do something wrong. Because I'm a pastor, I hold a great accountability, a great responsibility before the congregation. That's why I have to watch my life carefully, what I do in my life, because it can damage your faith if I sin against God. If I sin against God, the spanking to me will be harder than some of you. It will be very hard. Amen. And you see that all the time, minister in the body of Christ who sin against God. God spanked them very hard. At the same time, I want to encourage you, okay? God is the judge. This is one thing that we have to be careful, okay? God is the judge. God is the one who disciplines people through the church or through his own hands. We are not the judge. You have to watch your attitude carefully. You need to watch your heart carefully. I go out of my sermon a little bit. I feel that God wants to speak this. We don't have right to judge anybody. Amen. We have only the right to love and to encourage people. We are not here to pull the gun and shoot each other's head and stamp on other people when they fall down. No, we are here to love one another. You need to watch your mouth carefully, watch your attitude carefully. I give you example. If one of the members do not do the right thing before the Lord or before the congregation, if I come with a judgmental attitude, I will say, you're bad. You're going to go to hell. You don't do this enough. That is judgmental. Be careful. When you say you don't do this enough, you are judging them. But you should come like this. Brother, sister, I understand it's not easy. I pray for you. I love you. Let's do this together. It's different between you don't do it enough or you say, let's do this together. Let's walk together. Let's move up together. So you can see that you get the result by encouraging, but not by condemning. Not by pointing finger and judging on them and say, the only person that can judge you is God. We don't have the right to judge one another. Amen. So you should go to them and say, let's do this together. Let's pray more together. Let's read the Bible more together. Instead of, you don't read the Bible enough. You're not a good Christian. That is judgmental spirit. That is the spirit of religion. Be careful. God deal with me about this issue many times. God say, son, You don't have the right to judge anybody. You don't have the right to judge any church, to judge any pastor, to judge any servant of God. You only encourage them and pray for them and appreciate them. I share with people in Bangkok. I say like this. Before I came into revival to be touched by the fire of God, when people come to church late, I look at them and in my heart like boiling. I'm going to confront that person. You come to church late. You are bad sheep. You know, I used to think that way. I was judging people. But one day while I was on the floor, God touched me. God said, ha, 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 you're wrong, son. You don't have the right to judge them. You don't know what's going on with their life. Maybe last night they just busy with something, emergency with their family. That's why they could not wake up. But by the way, son, better that they come to church and sit here than they stay home. You should appreciate them that they come to church. Is that right? So we should not judge one another. Amen? Okay. God judges according to the severity of our sin. Number five, how does God discipline us? Look at Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. You need to understand that every time God disciplines us, God loves us. How should we respond to the discipline of God? Look at the Bible. Psalm 94, verse 12. Blessed is the man you discipline, O Lord. The man you teach from your law. Everyone say, blessed. Everyone say, I'm blessed. When God discipline me. So quiet. The second sentence, so quiet. Again, say again. I'm blessed. When God disciplines me. So every time God disciplines you, you need to know that you are blessed. Amen. You're going to get out from destruction and you're going to go into blessing. Every time God disciplines me and Pastor Da, we know we are blessed. In fact, we admit Pastor Da and I have done so many wrong things in our life. We have bad attitudes in many things. We did many wrong things. But God disciplined us and it really woke us up. And we have to repent for the goods of our old life and for the goods of the congregation. Amen. God really loves us and God blesses us. Hebrews chapter 12 verses 5 to 9. And you have forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. And do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves. And he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for it. How much should we submit to the father of our spirits and live? This passage of the scripture tells us how we respond to the discipline of God. Not only that, we know that we are blessed. Another thing we learn is that we should not feel discouraged. Amen. If God disciplines you, don't feel discouraged. Don't leave church. Don't leave the ministry. Don't quit. Go on. Feel encouraged. God encourages you. Repent. The Bible says, don't feel discouraged. And don't make light of the Lord's discipline. Don't say, oh, you know, I don't care. You spank me this time, I don't feel much pain. I'm going to go on. No, don't make light of God's discipline. Repent right away. Turn around right away. Confess your sin toward one another. Confess your sin with whoever you offend them. Or confess your sin to God. Don't make light of God's discipline. And the Bible says, endure it. When you go through the discipline, it's not fun. It's very painful. Endure. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't complain. Be quiet. Be thankful. And know that you are blessed by the Lord. Amen. Accept it with patience. And submit to the Father. Submit to the Father. Don't fight with the Father. Don't yell at the Father in heaven. But submit to the Father when he disciplines us. You know why God disciplines us? This is the outcome of the discipline. I read and I'm going to end the sermon. In verses 10 to 11, our Father disciplines us for a little while. You need to understand that God's discipline is a temporary thing. It will not stay forever. Okay? Why? As they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. The result of the fruit of the discipline is that we will be blessed. We will begin to have the fruit of holiness and righteousness and peace in our life. God loves us so much that He wants us to have righteousness, peace, and joy in our heart. Amen? That is the fruit of the discipline. My dear brothers and sisters, I hope that this sermon will remind you to respond to the discipline of God in the right way. And you will learn that live a holy life. Don't sin against God. Fear God. Amen? Don't even try to test whether God can discipline you. Don't even kind of say, oh, I'm going to challenge you to see what happens if I do this. Repent right away. Turn around right away. There are so many things in my life that I need to repent in the ministry in the past years. I give you one example. I'm talking about ministry here. At one point in my life, I have a prideful attitude. And I think that everyone that come into my meeting, they need to join my church. But later on, God rebuked me. And He said, no, son, you're not here to own anybody or to build your own kingdom. You are there to bless people. Then I begin to realize that I have a wrong attitude, that people need to join me. No. Whatever God leads them. When God corrects you, you need to repent right away. Amen? You need to repent because you don't want God's discipline to come to your life. As soon as you repent, the discipline will not come. But if you keep going on, the discipline will come. This morning, I want to ask you, anything in your life that you still naughty and rebel against God, why don't you just ask God to forgive you and turn around as soon as possible? Anything in your life, maybe in the area of relationship with your spouse, relationship with your children, maybe in the area of finances, or in the area of the ministry, maybe in the area of fear, area of anxiety. God wants us to repent as soon as possible so that we can move on and be used by the Lord. Amen. Why don't you bow down, close your eyes, and talk to the Lord. Whatever area in your life that God wants you to change, repent. Some of you may be complainers, whiners. You complain and complain and complain. Maybe you whine and whine and whine. Stop complaining. Repent to the Lord and say, God, I'm not going to use my mouth to complain. Because complaining is a sign of doubt. You don't trust God. That whatever wrong thing happened, God can fix for you. Then you complain. Maybe some of you have the problem in the area of unbelief. You don't walk by faith. You have doubt, and God deal with you right now. God is speaking to you right now. That don't walk in doubt. Don't walk in unbelief. Have faith. Hallelujah. Father in heaven, we come before you right now in humility, in surrender. We yield to you, Lord. We thank you so much, Lord, for reminding your church of the discipline of God. Lord, give us the fear of God in our heart by your Holy Spirit. Give us the love of God in our heart too, that we will walk in the fear of God. We will not sin against you. Oh, we repent, Father, if we do anything wrong, have a wrong attitude. Father, come and cleanse your church. Help us to be obedient children in the kingdom. Help us to be holy and pure before your eyes, Lord. May your Holy Spirit bring the conviction of sin to our heart so that we will not be condemned with the world. renew right spirit within me.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew thy spirit within me.
Father, those who repent today, you will do to them like you did to the king Manasseh. You hear that prayer, Lord, you restore them by your favor. Restore the situation in their life, Lord. Take away the hands of the enemy from them. Give them sufficient grace to come out from the trials and hardships and the discipline of God victoriously, Father. Please forgive your church. Forgive them, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Before we end the service, I'd like to do one thing quickly here, just to make sure. In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 to 10, the Bible said that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I just want to make sure that everyone in this church go to heaven with me. You can realize that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on the cross for your sin. He was raised from the dead. He paid for your sin. And he's the Son of God. And he will come back again. You can know about it, but you don't have faith. You don't believe. And confess with your mouth as Lord and Savior, you will not be saved, no matter how much you know. I just want to make sure that we confess that the Lord is our Lord and Savior. Can we confess one more time together, just to make sure that we are saved? Amen.
Amen.
Let's stand up. Hallelujah. Confess it loud enough that God can hear you. Don't mumble.
Yes, Lord.
Father.
Father.
I believe in my heart.
I believe in my heart.
That Christ.
That Christ.
Is the Son of the living God.
Is the Son of the living God.
He died on the cross.
He died on the cross.
To pay for my sin.
Pay for my sin.
I confess with my mouth.
I confess with my mouth.
And believe in my heart.
And believe in my heart.
That he is my Lord and Savior.
That he is my Lord and Savior.
He is my protector.
He's my protector.
He's my guide.
He's my guide.
He's my healer.
He's my healer.
He's my provider.
He's my provider.
He is my God.
He's my God.
I follow him.
I follow him.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I believe in my heart.
I believe in my heart.
And confess with my mouth.
And confess with my mouth.
That you were raised from the dead.
That you were raised from the dead.
On the third day.
On the third day.
And you sitting.
And you're sitting
at the right hand of God.
At the right hand of God.
Interceding for me.
Interceding for me.
I love you, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus.
In your name.
In your name.
I pray.
I will pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, I feel good now.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. I know you go to heaven with me. Amen. for sure because you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Amen. I'm going to close in prayer. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your love, your mercy. We love you, Lord. I pray, Father, that your will shall be done in this church. You will, Lord, use us to bring the gospel to many nations, Lord. And you shall also use us to make disciples, Lord. Lord, open the doors for us to take the gospel, to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to perform signs and wonders, to confirm that our God is the living God. Anoint your people in this church, Father, to do the work of the kingdom, Father. Thank you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. God bless you.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.